This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It's very indicative of what this means to the players. There's two teams out there that are very competitive, that have a ton of pride for their respective teams and their countries. And for me, when you have an investment in trying to win like the way that it occurred, I think that's an indication of it. But
that's Mike Sullivan, the coach of the U.S. team. That Four Nations hockey playoff ends tonight with, of course, a rematch of the U.S. and Canada. And I just loved that first game. And I've asked my friend Scott Moorman from FanDuel Sports to join us this morning so we can talk a little bit more about this. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, my friend. How are you doing?
Cold like everybody else, but hey, it's going to be 60 next week. We got to look at the positive, Mark.
That's the bright side of all of this, I guess. I think a lot of people are going to be glued to the TV tonight, whether they're specifically hockey fans or not.
I think you're exactly right. I don't think that there was some buildup to the game on Saturday. It wound up, I think ABC had like 4.4 million watch the U.S.-Canada game. But now, after what transpired last Saturday, I think you're going to see. Now, the game's on ESPN. It's the championship game of the Four Nations face-off or Four Nations tournament between the two top teams. Yes, I think they're going to have incredible ratings. Now, the biggest thing for me, Mark, is the fact that can it live up to the hype, because I don't think anyone imagined that in the first 9 seconds of a game you would have three fights. Especially in this day and age of hockey. Now, back when we were younger growing up, that would be normal, but that's not normal. But leave it to the two boys from St. Louis to get it started, and Brady and Matthew Tkachuk. And, you know, you think about this, Mark, and I'm sure most of your listeners saw this. You know, you go back to earlier this month, Matthew, part of the Stanley Cup championship team, the Florida Panthers, they went and visited the White House and Donald Trump. And I know Matthew was kind of the spokesperson for the whole team, and he was just in awe and very respectful of getting that opportunity to go to the White House and meet the president. And circle back, and now obviously Brady and Matthew, in fact Brady just played briefly before he was injured in the game against Sweden on Monday. Matthew didn't play, but both of them will play in tonight's game against Team Canada. I don't think it would take a lot, I think, for those two guys to miss the game. Unfortunately for the Americans, Charlie McAvoy, who was just also awesome in that victory against Canada on Saturday, he will be out of the game. So really kind of the top defenseman for Team USA won't be in the lineup. So that's a little bit of a hit for Team USA in tonight's game.
Yeah, wow. Somebody said they kind of hoped the president might show up.
I just literally read right before you guys called me that I think DJT is going to call the team. I don't know if he's going to make it. I know Mike Sullivan and Bill Guerin, who actually played with the Blues for a brief bit before the end of his career as the GM of Team USA, invited the president yesterday. But I just literally read that I think the president is going to call the team before their game tonight against Team Canada.
Wow.
I'll be honest, I didn't realize. I knew Jordan Binnington was in the tournament, but Carl was just talking about how he's playing for Team Canada, which
he's
Canadian, but for some reason my brain went to, well, he plays for the Blues. He's he plays for a U.S. team. Naturally, he'd play for Team USA.
Well, Kim, I mean, that's kind of the downside of things is you have, as Carl will tell you, a couple of our own guys in Colton Parayko and Jordan Binnington who are playing for Team Canada, and unrightly so as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, Canada, that's their number one sport, hockey. They're very passionate. I mean, Binnington has really been taking some hits from not only fans but some of the media up there in Canada. But others has pointed out, especially after the loss to Team USA, is the fact that, look, you have to score more than one goal to win a hockey game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. So that's kind of the hard part. I'm sure Carl will echo my sentiments, is the fact that, yeah, we want Team USA to win. You just hate it because Jordan Binnington is your guy, and he is between the pipes. So, and Colton Parayko was part of that third fight that started the game on Saturday against Team Canada. Will we see fights tonight? I don't know. Maybe you will. I'm a little concerned that it won't live up to the hype because of what transpired on Saturday, but I still think it's going to be just incredible hockey to watch, even if you're just a casual hockey fan, even if you're a Kentucky basketball fan. I think you're really going to enjoy the hockey.
Nice. I always appreciate digs at Mark. I take every opportunity to dig at Mark's love for Kentucky basketball.
And these same two goalies will play on Saturday here in St. Louis.
Well, we would think so. Actually, we were just kind of having that discussion in one of our meetings, work meetings, you know, trying to prepare for the first game coming back on Saturday. But, it's going to be, we'll ask him tomorrow because the Blues aren't skating, Carl, today. But I'll be intrigued to see, you know, since you got back-to-backs, if maybe they give Binnington a day off and Hofer gets Wednesday and Binnington gets Sunday. Against Colorado. I mean, you come out of the gate out of this break, man, and you're taking on two of the better teams. The Blues obviously have a big hill to climb if they have any chance of making the playoffs at all, and this is just as massive coming out of this break, but nothing more massive than the game coming up tonight.
No kidding. And you told me, Scott, that it's going to be on Channel 4, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So they have the Blues have an option with FanDuel to have a few games that can go over the air, and the first of three of them that they'll have over the air, it's this Saturday, then Saturday, March the 8th, and then a Tuesday, March 25th, where I think Channel 4 takes two of those three games, and then their new station, Matrix Midwest, takes one of them, but we'll be on Channel 4. And it's all the regular FanDuel people in camera, behind the scenes. The only addition we're going to have, which I think we're really looking forward to, and I hope people tune in, is the fact that our pregame starts at 5:30, and joining Joey Vitale and myself will be the Hall of Famer Chris Pronger. And obviously we'll be talking a lot of U.S.-Canada to open up the show before John Kelly and Jamie Rivers bring the Blues in Winnipeg. And again, it's going to be on Channel 4 as well as Matrix Midwest coming up this Saturday.
Maybe Pronger will bring you some of that good Canadian whiskey he's hawking all the time.
I might text him and see if he might do that for us.
Scott Warman, always great to have you on, my friend. Thank you.
You got it, Mark. See you guys.
Yep, talk to you soon. Always great to get him on here. And see, he even got a Kentucky reference in there. Didn't you love that?
No.
What a guy. What a great guy.
Only if it's digging at your love for Kentucky.
I know.
Then I do love it.
And we play Mizzou on March 8th, and I'm really kind of dreading that after watching them last night. Woo, man. All right, coming up, Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. We'll get her take on some of these court decisions that have gone the president's way when it comes to Doge.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We'll be right back.
I mean, I haven't asked the president for anything ever.
And if it comes up, how will you handle it?
Well,
he won't be involved.
Yeah, I'll recuse myself if it is.
If there's a conflict, he won't be involved. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want that, and he won't want it.
Right, and obviously I'm getting a sort of a daily proctology exam here. You know, it's not like I'll be getting away from something in the dead of night. I mean, I have to ask the
question. Get up, baby! Get up!
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Shannon Bream on live with us now from Fox News Sunday. Shannon, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing fine. You know, Don and Elon are like the new comedy team there, huh?
They are. Listen, they have a very unique and unusual partnership. And it's funny because, you know, Elon will point out just 2 or 3 years ago, he was fully on the left side of the equation and really had his own awakening and sees the world in a completely different way. And I think this bromance is it's going to last for a while.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to ask you, though, because They got a win here in the courts here because all these Democrats are trying to shut down, I guess, Doge, or at least Doge's ability to go in and make immediate changes. Was it Tanya Chutkan, the judge who handled the big case against Trump, right?
Exactly. So when I saw that she had been assigned to this, I thought, oh, this may not be great for the Trump team in this case, just because it was clear during her handling of the federal case against him, the criminal case, that his team wasn't getting any breaks and she was pretty hardcore on them. But even with that in mind, she ruled against these 14 attorneys general, state attorneys general, who came to say, we want Doge stopped. We want it stopped right now in its tracks. And she just basically said to them, listen, I haven't seen the concrete harm that you're talking about. You haven't demonstrated enough here for me to give you a temporary restraining order. So even Judge Chutkan says, you know, Doge can continue.
How about the issue of anchor babies, birthright citizenship? That got stayed again, I believe. Is the next step an emergency request to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, if the Trump team decides to go to the next level, that's where you would go. And so it would go to the justice who oversees the Ninth Circuit. Currently, that's Justice Kagan. She could decide alone on an emergency request. But most of the time with these really big headline decision cases like this, they'll refer it to the full court for a vote. And keep in mind, it would just be something temporary in nature to say, okay, until we actually get to the merits of this birthright citizenship case with the 14th Amendment, Would the president's executive order be on hold? So, yeah, if they go the next step to SCOTUS, we could have an answer pretty quickly.
Shannon, I was happy to see a U.S. appeals court blocked Biden's plan to try to pay off a lot of the student debt for people. Obviously, you know, what was it, thousands of people have already had their debt paid off. But what does this latest ruling mean? Does that mean this next round of people that he planned to pay off their debt will not get that relief?
Well, you know, they did this in so many different slivers because the Supreme Court told him you cannot do this in a big sweeping way to just wipe all of this stuff out. So his team said, OK, we're going to go more piecemeal about this. So there have been very specific different programs. And this ruling only applies to that one group that they've now tried to do. So if you have a question about whether or not you're included in this group and whether you're going to get relief, I would take a breath and take a minute and check to see if you're in this latest group that they've paused.
Yeah. Any comments on King Trump?
Very interesting. Listen, it makes for great magazine and newspaper headshots and covers, and very interesting. So, listen, the question is, we haven't had a monarch ever in the U.S. because that is clearly the way that our founders planned this thing. We've got different branches. And listen, there's some critics right now saying, the legislative branch, you're giving up some of your power to the executive. And I think a lot of these cases that have been filed against the Trump team and that are headed to SCOTUS are going to center on that one question about just how powerful is the executive and the executive branch.
Well, maybe I should have explained myself to people that haven't heard this yet. I guess because they cut down that fee or did away with the fee in New York heading into Manhattan, President Trump tweeted out, it's good to be king or something like that. And they took that as him suggesting he is a king. I would assume his administration pressured them to stop charging that fee? Is that what happened?
Yeah, apparently the way that I understand it, I definitely need to dig into that more, but there are highways there that do get federal money or were funded at some point with federal money. So Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy has come out to say, hey, listen, that means that we have something to say about this, and that means that you have to listen to what we say about it, and we think that congestion pricing has got to go.
Well, I know them and a lot of my liberal friends on social media are having a ball with that one this morning, for sure. What happens next, Shannon, and maybe this is a subject you're going to cover this weekend, with the president's comments on Ukraine? It's got a lot of people fired up when he seemed to suggest they could have prevented Russia's incursion.
Yeah, and he's hearing back, not surprisingly, from Democrats who say, we would never agree with that viewpoint. But you do have Republicans out there, too, saying this was inartful. This is not what he should have said. This was completely Russia attacking in an unprovoked way Ukraine. And you wonder how much of it is public posturing for Putin because they are at the negotiating table with him. But you do have people on both sides of the aisle here in Washington who were not a fan of what the president had to say, assigning any of the blame to Ukraine yesterday.
Yeah, Cruz was one of the ones defending him a little bit. I saw. So is that something you're talking about this weekend? You have the show laid out?
Yeah, we are definitely going to be talking about Ukraine and Russia because, listen, that is one of the things that President Trump promised during his campaign, that he would get it wrapped up quickly. And he may be moving in that direction, but Ukraine feels like they don't have a seat at the table. It's something that has split Washington for a long time. There's been a ton of support, and the general American public was very supportive in the beginning. That has receded a bit as people have said, okay, $350 billion. Is that what we're talking about? Is that the number? Where has it gone? Can Zelensky even tell us where all of it went? And it seems he has trouble and admits that he doesn't know where all of this money went. So I think there's a clock ticking, and here in Washington, people have thought no more money. We need answers.
Shannon, are you a hockey fan? You're going to be watching that Four Nations game tonight?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes. Now, I can't say that I was before marriage. I had my own sports. I was more of a football person. We had that, too. But my husband's a huge hockey fan. He knows every player and every team from every country. And you better believe it's going to be on in the Bream House tonight.
And tonight, patriotism will play a role as
USA.
Well. That's right. That's right. Shannon, we'll be watching on Sunday. Thank you.
See you then.
You bet. Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday there. Should be a good game. Carl, do we know what time that starts by chance?
7 p.
7 p. Central Time. We can at least see part of it before we have to turn in and go to bed tonight. Kim, how about that? All right, coming up, we're going to get to our friend Griff Jenkins reporting up there on all the benefits being cut off to illegal aliens. Stay tuned.
And as of January 20th, 2025, the dark days of high taxes, crushing regulations, rampant inflation, flagrant corruption, government weaponization. Oh, I know about weaponization. And total incompetence will be gone forever. They'll be gone forever. Because the United States is back and open for business, and the golden age of America has officially begun. You see it happening.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
All right. Griff,
good
how are
morning.
You? Buddy, good to have you on again.
It's great to be here. And you know what I wish the Trump administration could do with Doge is create a weather department and find some way. We're slashing and killing all of this waste, fraud, and abuse. Can we also kill these frigid polar Arctic temperatures? I don't want to be greedy in the golden age, but, you know, I'm just thinking, what the heck? You know, sky's the limit. Let's just warm things up a bit. It's freezing.
He's just going to sign an EO and switch it back to global warming instead of global cooling, and that should take care of it.
Exactly.
Right? So the climate change.
Speaking of EOs, by the way, I'm getting ready to do a hit here shortly about his EO that Trump signed last night, cutting off federal financial benefits to illegal aliens.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've talked about this already today or you got anything else you want to talk to me about, but I just want to highlight, like, I tackled it and talked to my boss and said, this is really a big deal. And it's a big deal simply because, you know, under current estimates by the CBO, you know, it's billions and billions of dollars that would be going to people illegally here, it, from Obamacare to Medicaid to food stamps, you name it. It's billions. In fact, that Federation for American Immigration Reform says it's north of $180 billion annually. Basically, every new illegal alien is costing our American taxpayers $130,000. But it also, if you dig deeper, and being a Washington nerd, I started digging in. It goes after a 1996 law that Clinton, remember Clinton back during 96, basically got his hand forced into signing a law that ended welfare abuse because Americans were sick of seeing all these you know, people driving around in Cadillacs and getting free money. And Clinton said, well, we got to do something. So he signs this law ending welfare abuse, and in it, it barred illegal aliens from receiving a wide range of benefits. Well, guess what? Under the Biden administration, when they started paroling people into the country, they then became, quote, qualified and eligible for a number of benefits. And over a scale of like 5 years, they got full benefits. And so this also seeks to basically end that. It'll be fascinating to watch and see where it goes. The change would come in the welfare eligibility verification, which is a bit detailed, but it definitely could save a lot of money.
Yeah, wait till they start screaming about this one. I was joking this morning, Griff, that my inbox, because I'm on the communications, White House Communications Department's email list now, gets filled up every day with press releases on these EOs they're putting out. I got the one this morning, the executive order on the subsidization of open borders, and it specifically points out that they're going after sanctuary cities. This bans any federal payments to states and localities that facilitate the subsidization, I have a hard time with that word, of or promotion of illegal immigration or any so-called sanctuary policies that seek to shield illegal aliens from deportations. I'm waiting for the lawsuits to be filed by San Francisco and Chicago and L.A. claiming that he can't do this.
It's coming, and that net is going to be a wide net they're going to cast. And they're going after sanctuary jurisdictions, obviously, for federal fund, any federal funds going to these state and local entities that you know, in any way support it. But, you know, you look at ending this simple money that's already going to support overall illegal immigration, trying to shut down the sanctuary cities, but also it's undoing, you know, and this is a bit of a broad stroke here, but, you know, the Biden administration routed all these payments, like housing money through that FEMA shelter program and these NGOs, which basically protected payments. But I think that at the end of the day, when the curtain's pulled back, you're going to see the Trump administration start making the case that a lot of this financial support was actually illegal. And even if, you know, rerouting it through other programs like FEMA and NGOs maybe was not illegal by the letter of the law, it certainly was illegal under the spirit of the law in terms of the recipients of these benefits. And so, you know, it's interesting that this EO gets signed, you know, last night, and the White House isn't doing a big thing on it,
right.
But you're going to see the lawsuits from the sanctuary cities, and you're going to see probably a lot of the pro-migrant groups start to set their hair on fire over it.
Griff, I'm taking a left turn here, and I'm wondering if maybe you've seen this video floating around on social media. Basically, it's Hamas unloading the bodies of that mom and her two baby boys, and then it was the oldest man who was held in captivity, and all of them murdered. And those bodies are being brought back to Israel in exchange for well over 100 Palestinian prisoners. It's crazy to me that somehow this is deemed fair.
Well, you're right. And look, at the end of the day, I think that Trump is you know, just trying to bring as much pressure as he can to get Hamas to release and return everybody. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the things that you know, obviously that after 500 days, over 500 days in captivity in the hands of these terrorists, you know, that video is going viral. But the one that I wish would go viral that I've reposted is, you know, when it came from the Hamas terrorist, what did Israel do? On the back end of that, the IDF had those coffins draped in the Israeli flag. And you can see visually some of these tough IDF soldiers in their green berets and uniforms crying as they salute to honor the horrors that have happened. And that's really the counterbalance to it. But make no mistake, today is a very difficult day for all Israelis.
Yeah, and it's hard to watch for sure what's going on up there. Griff, listen, we appreciate your reporting, my friend. We'll be watching you on Big Fox here in a minute.
Hey, thanks, guys. And real quick, this weekend, tomorrow drops my special on the Panama Canal on Fox Nation. It's a must-watch for anybody interested in what Trump plans to do with the Panama Canal.
Excellent. Can't wait. We'll talk to you soon, Griff. Thanks.
See you, guys.
All right, see you. Griff Jenkins there live in Washington, D.C. this morning.
Have you seen that video I was just referring to?
I have not seen it yet. No, I'm not.
It looks as though, I think it's Hamas leaders, so terrorists, who are putting on almost like a music festival.
And delivering the bodies?
Yeah, the whole thing is weird. It's just so sad. I know that Hamas is releasing more, like, you know, prisoners who were still alive, but it's just devastating. You see the picture of the mom and her two sweet baby boys. One of them was 9 months.
Who died a long time ago, right?
Yeah, where and have they Hamas been storing the bodies? Onto the bodies. It's just awful. I just have such a different perspective. I can't imagine going through that depth of a loss, but I just have such a greater appreciation for how excruciating that must be.
Awful. It must be awful. And I'm now seeing the video of them delivering it mm-hmm. here. Yes, I see what you're talking about. Wow. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned. So Carl, who is just a wealth of information, tells me today is National Cherry Pie Day.
Yes.
Hence the song we're playing here, even though the two are not related.
This song has nothing to do with
nothing at all.
Baked good.
But go get yourself some cherry pie.
I wonder if companies are giving away, you know how it's like free burrito or burrito day and you might get a deal on a burrito. Can I go get a deal on a cherry
Where
pie?
Where would you get like a Tippins?
Tippins pie is like a French silk from Tippins is, oh my gosh, that was what my family ate growing up.
Well, there used to be a restaurant you could go to actually get it, but then I thought they just got rid of that and started selling it in stores.
I don't know if
Tippins
there are
still
anymore.
Around. I don't know. Somebody will let us know on social media.
Or bring us a cherry pie.
Oh, yeah. There's always that option, right? For sure. I don't know. I saw this story. Carl brought it up to me earlier about that plane crash up in Toronto that everybody walked away from. Kim, you put this in the notes this morning, too. Delta Airlines is going to offer a $30,000 one-time cash payment to all the passengers who were aboard that flight and crashed as it flipped upside down. A spokesman says that the Delta Care team is telling passengers this is a gesture on their behalf, has no strings attached, and does not affect their right to sue the company if they accept it. Because, you know, there are going to be 80 lawsuits. Well, 4 of those are crew members, I guess, so maybe they'll sue them, too. I don't know.
That's what's funny is they're trying to say this is, you know, a gesture of goodwill. Well, really what it is here's some money to pay you so that you don't sue us for even more money.
Oh, this is going to cost them millions.
It says if all 76 passengers on board that flight agreed to take this cash, Delta would be forking out $2.3 million.
Which is cheap compared to what the lawsuits are going to be.
Right.
But you know every single one of them has an attorney at this point, right?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, they were hanging like bats.
Only 18 passengers out of the 80 people had to be taken to the hospital. That's amazing to me.
But you go to the hospital for any amount of time. If you're in the ICU, for example, let's say for a week, and I'm not saying I have done that, but I've talked to people who have, and you hear about the medical bills. Oh, my gosh. Imagine not having insurance, even if you do. I mean,
they were in Canada, though.
That's true. You're right. That is very. You're right. Okay, it's free. Yeah. I was going to say. I mean, that can the amount of money you can rack up at being in the hospital for even just a few days is astronomical. So the medical bills here in the United States would be crazy.
But in Canada, it's no cost, eh? The government will take
care of it.
Just have
to wait in line.
Unless the Americans win tonight, then they may take it out on you. Come in and pinch you.
What happens if, like, for example, you hear studies about how unhealthy Americans are, and it's like every year we're getting less healthy. So I don't know what the statistics are in Canada, but if there was a trend like that going on in Canada and more people were having health issues, more hospital visits, would they just then increase taxes to make sure to cover it? Like, when there's a lot of natural disasters, you have a lot of these home insurance policies that end up going up to compensate, right? So what do they do in places like Canada where healthcare is quote unquote free? They're obviously paying for it.
Trudeau knows best. I told you I went
not
fishing.
For long. He's no longer going to be the prime minister there.
I went fishing up there years ago, and the guide was bragging about how they had two kids, but it was great because their health care is all paid for, and all they had to do was go to the hospital, and it didn't cost them anything. He was just enthralled with his health care system, and I'm like, what? How much of your salary did you pay in taxes last mm-hmm. year? And it was over 50%. Like half, they give up half of their money mm-hmm. in return for wanting free health care. I don't use that much health care each year. I don't want to give up half my pay to pay for somebody else's health care. That's silly.
I know. I don't either. I know neither of you are big Friends fans. Maybe you, Carl, more than Mark.
Yes.
But there's an episode when Rachel and Ross are new parents, and she's freaking out because her baby Emma has like the hiccups or something, and she keeps calling the doctor. And that's what I picture. If we had free healthcare, you'd have some buffoon who has the hiccups and is panicked, and they're a hypochondriac and they're rushing to the ER, and you're paying for that basically for them flipping out that they have like a slight cold.
All they had to do was just go,
I like big butts.
That's a great scene. I have not tried this with Easton, but maybe one day.
So, Mark, this was the only thing that would get baby Emma to shut up when they played this song.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I remember that.
He means calm down or be quiet, but the words he chose were to shut up.
Well, that's what Ross says.
That's funny.
Well, that's probably true. Yeah, and Rachel raps it. Well, I guess Ross does, too.
Oh, that's funny.
It's $25 to get semaglutides in Canada.
Oh, is that all?
That's all.
Well, they ought to all be thin.
That's how
by
they
now,
should be right? here.
Well, they don't have fast food joints on every block like we do here in the United States with massive portion sizes,
well,
and you upgrade to an extra, extra, extra large for like 10 cents more.
When it's the 51st state, we can change all that. I'm just saying.
It's like the big gulp. See, I go back to shows. It's like Parks and Recreation with the big gulp. And it's like there's one called the child size. And they say it's the actual size of an average child. And that's the cup. And they're showing the amount of sugar in it. That seriously is how it feels in the United States.
Yep.
You can upgrade to a, you know, crazy mega whatever. Yeah. For 30 more cents.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I get to go out and speak to the fine men and women of the FBI National Academy. So I'm looking forward to that, and that'll always enjoy talking to those folks who work so hard and go out and support us every day on the streets. Thanks to all of you. I'll be out there around noon today, and looking forward to it. All right, nominate your favorite first responder. Speaking of that, at 971talk.com, and we may deliver them a meal. How about that from Grillmaster Tony? Go to 971.com and
sign up.
Yeah, you can sign up there under the contest tab, I believe. We'll make it really easy on you. Anyway, have a great day. Brian Kilmeade is up next. Annie and Mark in later today. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.